Good morning.
I didn't do it. You just gave it to me.
That's really bad.
We might be turning.
How about you just turn hers off?
Okay, let's turn hers off.
I think you and Mr. Bella can share.
Okay, there we go. Perfect. Good morning. I would like to call to order the regular monthly meeting of the Board of Respiratory Care Examiners at 9:01 on April 18th, 2019. Just as a reminder, this is a professional board setting, and we ask that when we are speaking up here, you not be speaking either in the audience or at the table, and when you're at the table speaking, we will give you that same courtesy. Please, if you have cell phones on, make sure they are silenced or muted. We do have cell service in here, so we don't want to be interrupted by cell phones ringing. We're going to start with introductions, and my name is Tracy Kagan, and I am the chair of the board.
Dr. Leslie Easley, board member.
Board Member Michael Beller.
Board Member Catherine Neer.
Jose Gonzalez, Vice Chair.
Alan Crawford, Board Member.
Jack Conifer, Executive Director.
Assistant Attorney General Frankie Schneider, Attorney for the Board.
Kathy Stone, Licensing Administrator.
If you are here for CEUs, to receive CEUs, you should have signed in on the purple paper. That paper has now been picked up. And before we adjourn the meeting, we will read the names on that paper, and you need to still be here in order to receive your CEUs. You may see me doing a little skipping around on the agenda. I have a method to my madness, so just kind of bear with me. We are going to start with approval of the consent agenda, and that would be items 1 up to and including 2H. We have a motion and a second for approval. Do we have any discussion? All in favor for approval of the consent agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes. All right, we're going to jump into the irregular agenda, and we are going to start with 3C, consideration and action on investigations of possible unprofessional conduct. And the board is going to call the case of Stephanie Spector, case 2019-RCE-0003. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you both for being here today.
Thank you.
Can we just have introductions real quick?
Yes, my name is Scott King on behalf of Stephanie Spector.
Hi, I'm Stephanie Spector. I'm registered
as a
lawyer. Thank you. Thank you very much. Madam Chair, members of the board, this is case number 2019-RCE-0005. RCP Spector has been licensed with us since February 18th, 2010. That license is set to expire on April 30th of 2020. Last reported employer is Iron Health. We do not have any significant complaint history, and there is no significant public record criminal history either. The complaint alleges that RCP Spector provided inadequate medical care and treatment that resulted in permanent harm to patient SM. If you recall, this is the third of a series of complaints that we got from this complainant, two of which we reviewed last month. In short, the response from RCP Spector and her attorney state that she was not involved in any of the care with this patient, and that she asked, because of that fact, she asked that it be dismissed. I have nothing further unless you have any questions.
Okay, thank you. Board members, any questions for Jack? Okay, because of where we are in the process, you will have 5 minutes to tell us anything and everything you want us to know about this. Okay. At that point, the board can have conversation with each other, but nothing back and forth to you.
Madam Chair, members of the board, Ms. Spector was not involved in the care of this patient in any way, shape, or form. There was no interaction between the patient and her husband, and we respectfully submit that the board dismiss this case. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Board members?
I move to dismiss.
Second.
We have a motion and a second for dismissal. Any discussion? This is very similar to everything we saw last month. So, all in favor of dismissing the case, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes. Thank you for being here.
Thank you very much.
Madam Chair, can I make a quick announcement?
Please.
I just want to let you know, Board Member Michelle O'Hare-Schattenberg did submit a her resignation to the governor's office from the board. I don't think there's any particular reason for that other than she's completed her two full terms. She's still doing pro tem judging part-time and taking care of some family members. So I just want to let everybody know that I didn't copy the resignation or anything for the materials, but we will plan to do a small reception and award ceremony, hopefully at the meeting. We'll invite her down, see if we can't present her with some recognition from her time served.
Okay, great, thank you. We will go to 3B, which is consideration in action on informal interviews, and the board will call the case of Nicholas Navarrete, case 2019-RCE-0007. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is an informal interview. This is case number 2019-RCE-007. The board originally reviewed the initial allocation, I believe, last month. This license, number 7402, was originally issued March 15th, 2007. That license is set to expire January 10th, 2021. RCP Navarrete's last reported employer is Western Arizona Regional Center. There is a complaint history with action that is disclosed in the investigative report, and I do not find any information on our recent criminal public records check. RCP Navarrete reported an employment-related disciplinary action on his most recent license renewal application. We initiated an investigation, and basically the allegations are that he was found sleeping while on the job and failing to respond to calls from the emergency department. Ms. Navarrete did respond within the appropriate time and disclosed some personal life things that he's been dealing with, as well as some care that he received from the doctor. And he did apologize for the situation. He states that it was unintentional and it will not happen again. I do not have anything further unless you have any questions. This is an informal interview. We'll swear you into the proceeding, and the board may have some questions for you.
Okay. Thank you again for being here. I want you to raise your right hand, please. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Thank you. You will have some time to let us know anything you want us to know that you may not have covered, and then after that, the board will likely have some questions for you.
This is your time to give your side of the story. So you have an allegation that you were practicing, you were asleep on the job. So now's the time for you to be able to relate your side of the story to the board, and then the board's going to decide what, if anything, to do as far as an action. Dismiss it. They can issue a letter of concern. They can issue a disciplinary action up to a certain point. So this is your opportunity to talk to the decision maker.
I did fall asleep. We have in our department, we have another room that has a gurney in it. And my back was hurting me. And I laid down and I set my feet on top of a crash cart handle just to stretch my back. I have no intention of sleep or anything. I've done it before, stretching, not falling asleep. But and I dozed off. And the only thing that I can say about the not responding to the calls is that office, even the cell phone service, is we hold cell phones in that. And it's a dead zone a lot of the time. And even overhead, it doesn't come through all the time. I did fall asleep. But
talk to me about your employment history with Western Arizona Regional.
It's great. At Western Arizona?
Mm-hmm.
That's not where I was fired from. Is it?
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought that
I'm at Western Arizona now.
Valley.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Talk to me about your history of how you deal.
Value's been great to me. I really like working there. I'm rehireable there.
There's not been any disciplinary action taken since you've been employed at Value?
No. Well, there was a... I had three write-ups long ago.
What were they about?
One was tardies. One was, they said I was on the clock, not doing my job. And the other one was, I don't know how they wrote it down, but it was the computer system went down at midnight, and that's when we were transitioning from paper to computer drive. And the billing, I hadn't finished at 6 o'clock, and when my shift had ended. And so I don't know how they wrote that up, but I got in trouble for that.
Okay, let me ask you another question. Do you feel that your behavior jeopardizes the safety of the patients?
Yeah.
In what way?
Me being the only RT there, I should have been available.
Is your current shift a night shift as well, or is it a day shift?
It's a day shift.
Day shift now. And your home environment is the same as it was when you were at Valley View, or has things changed there?
It's a lot better now. It's a lot better.
Did we last month ask for a drug screen?
Yes.
Okay, that's what I have written in my notes. Did we get that?
Yes.
Okay.
The board had asked for both a urine and hair. Screens, and he submitted to both of those, and they both were reported as negative.
Okay.
Yeah, I've got a question. Is your personal life or your family life, has that gotten a little bit better from what I've read? You had some issues where you came into some more responsibility and that type of thing? And
much better. Do you want me to tell you my history, or...
No, we don't need to discuss. I just wanted to know if it was more controlled.
It definitely. Much better.
Okay.
It's a lot better.
Okay, and that's not a hindrance to your employment anymore and you know, creating any undue stress? Or
No. My employer now is very supportive, and I'm sure even Value would be also.
I just have a question about that night. You don't have to disclose anything about your you know, personal medical history or any specific medications, but in your response, it did say that you were kind of taking your medication as prescribed. Was that something that you took that night before going to work?
I don't really remember because I was trying to find a schedule between these medications, and it just... really wasn't working very well.
Did you find that you were tired a lot? This was, or, because you said something about just taking that medication, and so
just,
maybe, you know, maybe that contributed to you being more tired.
Definitely. Okay. You know, I couldn't find a balance. I was in between trying to find a balance.
Okay.
Any other questions, board members? Thoughts?
Are you taking the medication still? No. I'm good.
Okay. We will have a motion, a thought.
Do you have any feedback from his current employer?
That's a good question. I don't think we do, and we certainly didn't request that.
I didn't see it.
Has there been any disciplinary issues with your new employer?
No. The most they told me was to tuck in my T-shirt.
From a medical perspective, these medications combined can cause drowsiness, even if they're not taken right before shift or anything like that. It's some people do experience symptoms throughout the day, so if they are things that he had just started taking, it's certainly possible that it could have contributed to him being more tired than normal. But I don't see where there is any other prior incidents where this employer reported any kind of other issues where he had seemed impaired or tired or anything on the job. It seems like this was kind of a one-time thing.
Well, there were other emails from leadership within the organization that identified other dates regarding concerns of impairment.
Were they right around that same time?
A couple months before.
I have empathy regarding the situation, mm-hmm. and I understand the medication. My biggest concern is that you place the patient and the facility at risk, and you place the patient in jeopardy by not being available, by not being attentive, by the fact that they were overhead paging, and it took two individuals to come into the room. I'm leaning towards a letter of concern.
Okay.
The only reason I don't want to move to a decree of censure is because I understand the medication component. Mm-hmm. But I can't get past you were not available.
That is fair.
I agree, but I don't think, like for me, I'm not feeling like this is a dismissal, so I feel like something has to be done where I have a letter of concern kind of on the right way that happened to me. Also, do it a second.
So I'm going to make a motion for a letter of concern, the concern being sleeping on the job and not being available to attend the patient.
Okay, so we have a motion for a letter of concern. Do we have a second to that?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
Is that disciplinary or
non-disciplinary?
Who's the second?
Dr. Thank you.
Any discussion? No? Okay. All in favor of the letter of concern, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes.
Thank you for coming down today. The board issued a letter of warning. Called a letter of concern that if future allegations of the same kind and type come up, they can then take a disciplinary action. So, just as a word of caution from staff, executive director, you've got three non-disciplinary actions in a short period of time in your licensing district. If you come back for some reason, I think the board will probably look at everything cumulatively and may not fare so well. So please be careful and wish you the best of luck with your practice.
Thank you.
Good luck. Okay. I am going to jump all the way down. I think we have one more person here. And I'm going to go to 3E, which is review, consideration, and possible action on a prior board decision. And the board is going to call the case of Troy Aquino, case 2018-RCE-0076.
I'm sorry, what number is it?
It's 3E1. Good morning.
Good morning. Madam Chair, members of the board, R.C. Aquino had emailed us and asked us to review a prior action. It was a consent agreement from, I believe it was last month or the month before, which was a standard rehabilitation agreement and that was due to DUI in Scottsdale. So the criminal matter in Scottsdale has been finalized, and the basis of his request is that the court did not find this as a second violation, criminal DUI violation, and he wants to know if he can have his consent agreement, standard consent agreement for probation for 3 years, altered, dismissed, quashed.
Yes.
But I'll let him describe the reasons why.
Okay. Well, thank you for being here.
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead and tell us what it is you're requesting.
I mean, yeah, just due to the fact that it is my first time in UI, but also I'm already taking, like, a few classes. I can listen down for you guys. And just the fact that sorry, I'm just a little nervous right now.
Okay.
Yeah, like, I even actually went to jail already for one time. For me, that was a very humbling experience, just to be in hard concrete for, like, 24 hours. And then just the stress for, you know, to, let's say, outside of work, and then you have to go to the, what was it, I guess the AA meetings 3 times a week, and then I think another counseling, which I'm already doing, with alcohol screening for, I think, 20 plus hours. I just feel like it's a lot to be put on me, which I'm already doing, you know, via court. So I just wonder if you guys can, you know, give me a second chance.
And what are you asking for?
Well, I don't if you can just treat it as a first time, or lessen the meetings that you guys put in the consent agreement.
So our standard order of consent states that they're going to attend counseling services, AA, breathalyzer in their automobile
the
if required by the court.
The counseling and the AA is an either or. So if they do not have a counselor that they can go to, I forgot if I did it weekly, so is it once weekly, then they have to go to 3 AA meetings per week. So that is the first part of the order.
So it says here he's currently doing MAD and alcohol education screening. So my question is, are we doubling his, you know, like what the court is saying that we're doing, are we doubling it? Are we like,
there's
or is it different?
It's different. There's always a possibility that there may be a double up on certain things. Board staff does have discretion to, let's say, utilize a drug screen ordered by the court and then to use those results. If it was within like a close window, they can accept those results. There is always a chance you may double up, but because you are an administrative board and that is the criminal court,
mm-hmm.
it is two separate entities. You are wholly separate from them. With that said, the board does have discretion to modify agreements. You do have the ability to rescind orders.
Do we know what the requirements were from the court?
And just as a reminder, even though this is a first offense in Arizona, he did have that other offense in California.
Mm-hmm.
Although he was found for exhibition of speed,
mm-hmm.
that was a plea down, and he did admit on the record that he was at a .08 driving under the influence. So that was a aggravating factor in this court's decision.
And from the request that we saw in here last night, I mean, he's, correct me if I'm wrong, you're saying that you want the AA and counseling to be dropped because you're taking MAD classes and alcohol education screening.
Yes.
How often is that?
The alcohol screening is 20 plus hours, and the MAD class is a 16 hour class.
A week? A month?
Yep.
One time.
So the alcohol screening is probably a weekend. Probably a weekend class.
They said it's a 3 or 4 hour course, and I have to go, I guess 4 or 5 times.
So those are just one and done. Like, you do your 16 hours period.
But it's in several times. I'm just trying to figure out, I mean, at least personally, my intent would be not to double something up, but I want to make sure that we're getting the right, our intended
rehabilitation. I don't feel like, although the courts in Arizona have now said it's a first offense, I don't feel like that's how we should be treating it.
Right.
It's not. It doesn't matter what state you're in. If you're drunk, you're drunk.
Are you asking for the AA / NA weekly basis to not happen at all? Because you're taking the MAD and so forth?
Well, I prefer it that way. Or if it can be lessened. I mean, as opposed to three times or, I mean, maybe just once a week or...
Can you tell me why you think that that is the case?
just because I work so many hours in a week. So just for, a lot of bills to pay, etc. Just so for me to get take outside of work to attend these classes, to me, I'll be in a lot of debt, let's just say. Yeah, if I don't pay those bills.
So you're saying by taking two or three AA classes a week, that's going to cost you money and income?
Yes. Yeah.
How?
Because because I work night shifts.
Okay.
And isn't the AA only during the days?
No.
There is dozens and dozens of meetings in every city, mm-hmm. every hour of the day.
Morning,
afternoon,
there's
night
time.
Have you looked into them at all?
I think
he's
answered that question.
And you can also
I just wanted to hear it.
No. You can also do at least one online per week,
okay.
is what's allowed by the order. Two of them have to be in person, but you can take one online per week. The other option is you can, I believe, I don't have a copy of the order, Jack, I'm sorry. I believe the alternative is to have private counseling, which would probably cost you money unless you're going through your church or your pastor.
Okay.
In which case, I know some people do go through their faith leadership, and they'll do like an hour a week or a couple hours a week with their faith leadership, and we'll get updates from them. But that is another option. There are a few ways to help yourself out on that.
AA is meant for working adults, so you're going to meet other people there that either that are full-time employed, that have two jobs, that...
Okay.
And so they're going to have them at various times a day, depending on when people work.
Okay.
So, I mean, I would encourage you to look it up and see when they are. But there are countless classes.
There are a lot.
We're in a big city,
and they're held at almost every church throughout the day. You can also look into.
So,
are you drinking currently?
No.
You do also understand after 1 year, and also if you have a clean record for 1 year, you can come back and ask for the release at that point.
Yeah. If you've been in compliance.
If you've been in compliance.
Yeah, my biggest concern was just that one. I just felt like it would take a lot of time, but...
They're an hour long. They're in your neighborhood. I guarantee there's going to be a lot within within a couple miles of their home. And as I said, you can do at least one online. I don't know if the board is amenable to... Maybe more than one online, but I know in the past we've done a lot of people do up to one online per week.
Okay.
I feel like when you made the decision to get in the car after drinking, you made the decision to accept the consequences that come with it, and this is one of the consequences that comes with it.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
If it's, and I don't know, do we need a vote on this from the board?
Not if they're not going to modify.
I mean, you're gonna give up your free time 3-4 days a week. To make sure that this is something that you're committed to not doing again. I mean, it's a lifestyle change, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I would encourage you to come back after a year and check with us then if you've been in compliance.
Okay.
If you just Google AA meetings near me, you're going to come up with a whole bunch of pop-ups, okay?
No, I just also want to talk to you guys in person because... Sometimes on the phone, it's hard to get to you guys.
Sure.
Yeah. So I'm glad I got to be.
Feel free to stop by any time. Just not sitting there.
Yeah.
from the staff perspective, I think we've kind of heard the consensus of the board. We can work with you on counseling. After that's done, we'll make sure that we get the AA in place.
Okay.
And I think you heard the word commitment.
Yes.
You have to make the decision to commit to this rehabilitation program now, 110%. Because if you don't, it's not going to work, and you will be back in front of the board. So communication breaks, keep that up. We've received, I think, an out-of-town notice. We've received a bunch of the paperwork that's been required. So thank you for that.
All right.
Appreciate your time today.
Okay, good luck. All right, I believe we got everyone who signed in on the white paper. Is anyone else here for an agenda item? Okay, then I'm just going to go back to the top. And we are going to start with 3B, consideration and action on informal interviews. And the board will call the case of Shamar Lane, case 2019-RCE-0006. And Shamar Lane is not here. Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, I did receive an email from her advising us that she's willing to answer questions and talk with the board. However, she had work scheduled and was not going to be here today.
So I spent a significant amount of my time last night reviewing this case. I don't see documentation from the RT. I want to see the documentation from 111, and I want to see the documentation from 1228. And I can't find that. So if anybody can help me out, that would be great. I'm at 639. And
since this is set for an informal interview, your only actions today would be to table this for a future meeting and for more information to invite her back, move this to a formal interview or formal hearing, or to dismiss.
Well, we can't do here's why I'm questioning it, because I have a letter from her that says she didn't work on these days, but I want to know, did you work the night prior? And I don't have anything that says she did or didn't. I want to know, did she perform the trach change? I don't have any documentation that says she did or didn't.
So we'll need her time card and any documentation.
If she did indeed not perform the trach change, and if she did indeed not work, then I think we could dismiss this. But I don't feel comfortable dismissing it until I get all the
So I would recommend that the board table this to the next meeting to get the time card, and then if she was working that day, a confirmation of her charting, and then to bring this back at the informal interview stage so that you can dismiss if it's clear that she did not work that day.
Okay, so do we have a motion for
that? A motion to table.
We have a motion and a second to table this case pending the time card for her.
So I'd like to request that we get time cards for 12/28 and January 11th. I'd like to see the respiratory therapy documentation, progress notes, ventilator sheets from 12/28 and January 11th.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Do we have any discussion, any further discussion? All in favor of tabling this case, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes.
I do want to just say, I appreciate this email from the facility. Provides a lot of clarity to me.
Mike, and just to follow up with the board on this, my memory and understanding is that she did not work the 28th. She had worked a day or the day, one or two days prior to discovery of the problem. There's not documentation in the chart. I'm sorry. As far as the 28th, as far as January 11th, if you remember, the allegation was that she states that she completed charting, however, was nowhere to be found in the facility after the patient got sent out. And the facility tried to call her back in to complete the missing documentation. She refused. And there may not be patient charting from that day.
Well, I don't think she refused. She said she couldn't come in at that time. So she was willing to come in. She just couldn't come in at that exact time if they called her. And their policy dictates that she has 24 hours to correct the documentation.
And then she resigned and wasn't done. So it was that's my understanding. So we're probably not going to get anything from the 11th. And I don't think the 28th was the day that she was on shift where the trach was changed. And I thought we had that flow sheet here, but I could be mistaken. So staff can clarify that.
And the time sheet, the time card. Yeah.
And let's get her invited back here and hopefully she'll have notice to see if she can't come.
Okay. Okay. Moving on. Yes. Okay. All right. We will go to 3C, back to consideration and action on investigation of possible unprofessional conduct. And the board will call the case of Shakora Jackson, case 2019-RCE-0017. Also not present.
Sure.
Shakora Jackson was on the agenda last month. She had entered into a consent agreement for rehabilitation. However, she has not been compliant, and board staff has not been able to make contact with her since she entered into that agreement. Therefore, she is not in compliance. At this stage, this is an allegation of possible unprofessional conduct. However, because she has been in violation of a formal board order, if the board believes that suspension or revocation may be in order, you may send us directly to a formal hearing at this time.
So moved.
Second. There's a motion and a second to go to a formal hearing. Do we have any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes.
Thank you.
Kathy is the second. The board will now call the case of Christina Wilson, case 2018-RCE-0071.
Madam Chair, members of the board, RCG Wilson holds license number 12117. That license was originally issued January 23rd of 2017 and is set to expire on February 17th of 2020. Last reported employer was Banner University Medical Center. There's one complaint history, and that was 2018 RCE-0023. I did not find any criminal history when I did the public records search. This case started when we had two supervisors and a director from North Mountain Rehabilitation Center file complaints alleging patient abandonment on the morning of October 1st of 2018. Those supervisor statements are in the report, basically say that she came in, took the report, and then while doing rounds, found a patient that had health-related issues as far as sanitation, refused to treat, submitted her resignation, and walked out of the facility. The supervisor and director basically state that she did not report her resignation to the appropriate people and thereby failed to provide adequate patient care and abandoned patients. The respondent, she did respond to the complaint, has a little different story, states that she did resign, goes on to detail who she talked to, the times that she talked to them, and basically says does not feel that she abandoned patients. The prior complaint, she has a non-disciplinary action for failure to complete continuing education, and that's case number 2018-RCE-0023. I don't have anything further unless you have questions.
Did anybody see in our documentation where she passed off any of these patients to anybody?
Mm-hmm.
No.
I didn't see that either.
She said she wrote it on a piece of paper and they couldn't find the paper.
Yeah.
And gave it to the administrative assistant. The
same person she gave her badge and phone to.
Right.
I mean, she did notify people, but she didn't handle this correctly.
In my opinion,
well,
she did not.
Providing her protection.
So she quit on the spot because of that?
Right.
Well, she accepted the assignment.
Correct.
She was assigned, she got report, she started her shift,
mm-hmm.
and there was an incident involving some animals. and then she resigned to the administrative assistant.
Which is not an uncommon animal in
no.
settings
no.
anymore, so that we see regularly.
but in all of this, she did not pass her patients
no.
off. She just...
So this is
walked into
an
administration
unsafe practice.
Right.
In my opinion, this is an unsafe practice.
I agree.
I motion To an informal.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to go to an informal interview. Is there any further discussion and or anything you need to see before we get to that? Or do you have enough information here?
The text in question is on 1022.
Correct. Yeah.
Tracy, please a second.
I believe Dr. Easy was
okay.
Second.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay, so any discussion?
Was there ever confirmation that there was, in fact?
I don't know.
But
that's almost irrelevant.
Yeah, agreed. It's irrelevant.
He wanted to know if there was confirmation about her, the reason she left.
I meant confirmation
that
she did, in fact, not give report. I mean,
oh, no, that's what I was asking. Do we have any documentation saying she gave off report? We have
so whoever she gave her badge and stuff to was
an administrative assistant. That was an administrative assistant. So that person certainly didn't get a report. Okay, so we've got a motion on the table. Do we have any other questions or discussion? All in favor of going to an informal interview for the case of Christina Wilson, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes.
Do we need the patient chart for any reason that you can see in the informal interview?
I don't
need it.
Okay, I'm just asking. Okay.
No, this
one. Yeah, the status of the patient is irrelevant.
Yep,
Thank you. This one's
her. All right, we're going to stay in 3C and call the case of Melinda Leyva, case 2019-RCE-0041.
Madam Chair, members of the board, RCP Leyva holds license number 8103. That license was originally issued December 20th, 2007, and is set to expire March 5th, 2021. Last reported employer that we have is Northwest Hospital of Oral Valley. She does have a complaint history from 2016. This is one of the first cases that you're going to see where we have a prior violation for failing to complete CP. So this was not handled the same way we have with all the first offenses where we offer a consent agreement, because I don't know what you want to do with somebody that has a prior violation, non-disciplinary action for failing to complete CP. RCP Leyva failed to provide proof of 2 hours of ethics with her most recent renewal and the audit that we conducted. She did respond to the complaint within the appropriate time frame and states that she was a little unclear about the ethics CE criteria, which is why I submitted 7 CEs over the amount needed for my renewal. She goes on to explain that she did get the CE for ethics, but it was after her renewal time frame and after we had audited her. I hope this is able to resolve the issue and apologize for my short-sightedness on this matter. As you can see, I was not short on the amount of CEU to renew. I have now sent a total of 31 CEs, which includes the ethics, but that was completed after her renewal time frame. I don't have anything further unless you have any questions.
So, if I understood you correctly, we have RCP who failed a previous CE audit and has now failed a second CE audit, but she submitted 27 CEUs, but none of them contained ethics.
I mean, one was ethics, not two. Oh, no, maybe she was
missing.
She
spent a total of 31 hours that she completed going back 2+ years. She did not complete 2 hours of ethics within her renewal time frame and was short 2 hours of ethics. She has since completed those, but it was outside of the time frame.
So ignorance is not an excuse. Everyone who holds a license should know what is mandated of their license. The fact that this individual has already been in front of the board for CE-related events.
One renewal ago. That was just in 16. That was just her last renewal.
Yeah.
So this is, like I said, this is a new, this is kind of a new regulatory issue for the board. Where you want to escalate, so your options are, if you think it's a violation, do you want to escalate it to a disciplinary action? Do you want to hold an informal interview to review the facts and decide what action, if any, you want to take? She has a prior violation of a similar kind.
Okay, so let me ask this question. When she submitted her renewal application, she had the number of CEUs required.
More than.
Hear me out for the question. Right, more than. When she, and if she submitted her renewal app early, her 2016 license may not have expired. Did she get those ethics CEs after she turned in her renewal, but before her other license expired? Was it in that time frame? While her 2016 license was still active, or whichever license it was? Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
Was it before that license expired, or was it after the expiration?
They technically have until the expiration date to get 2 years of.
It wouldn't be here if it was before the expiration.
Okay, that was my question.
Yeah, so it was after. And it was by our friends, I think, at Last Minute CEU.
Oh, my favorite.
Okay.
On April 11th of 2019.
April 11th.
Which is close to, 3 weeks after her.
It was last week. Okay. So it was after her expiration. Because it looks like her expiration is on March.
Okay.
So this is the second time.
So you can ask her, you can send her a disciplinary consent agreement at this point if you'd like to escalate. Or you can send this to an informal interview, and if she shows, at that point the board can issue discipline, and if she doesn't show, it would go to a hearing, at which point you could issue discipline again. So it sounds like the board is kind of not going backwards, we're going up. So depends on how you would like to do this. If you'd like to see if she would consent to a disciplinary civil penalty, and if she does not pay that, then to an informal, you can do that. If you'd just like to see her in informal, we can just go right to informal.
What's her ceiling on civil penalties?
Is it 500 per violation? Let me double check.
I think the ceiling on civil penalties is $500 per act or omission. So you could offer another civil penalty.
What's our civil penalty right now? Is it $50 per hour or $25?
It's $25 per hour.
She's short two hours.
So this is the first one. So we kind of have to think what we're going to be doing from here on, because unfortunately there's going to be more.
Do we still have that table about first-time renewals and not first-time renewals?
Yes.
Yeah, and that's the 20.
That's the $25 for somebody that's been licensed over two years.
So you can choose to go up, but just keep in mind, if you do order, you can also order this as a disciplinary civil penalty. So that is on a permanent record. That gets reported to the data bank. If the amount is trivial and the board doesn't wish to increase the amount, it's still a disciplinary action. If you'd like to do it as a non-disciplinary, it's up the amount without non-disciplinary. You can up the amount and do disciplinary.
Well,
it's a consent agreement.
If I'm not mistaken, the last time she had this problem, we did it as a non-disciplinary, thinking that would fix the problem, and that did not fix the problem. It happened again.
Yes.
So my question is, what do we want the pattern to be of escalation? So if somebody is a first-time violator, since we're going to be dealing with a lot of these, what do we want step three to be? Or where are we going with step two, step four?
I truly feel it needs to fall into disciplinary action. Because
It's a repeat. You already got your non-disciplinary.
You've been warned.
Yeah.
We gave you a written letter saying don't do this again.
Yep.
Sure.
Fell into compliance, and you fell out of compliance.
Whether it's a hearing, or do you want to discuss
the fine? I think we should offer a non-disciplinary consent. I think we should, let me rephrase. Sorry. And I'm not making a motion, I'm just talking.
Okay.
I think we should offer a consent for a disciplinary decree of censure for failing to comply with the CE requirements for your license. She already did the CE. I don't really think adding a civil penalty is applicable, in my opinion. She did it. But the problem is that this is now your second occurrence. Mm-hmm. She's already been fined once.
Yeah, only the fine changes anything.
Yeah. So no, I think now having disciplinary action against your license and having it reported to the National Practitioner Data Bank, I hope that will change your practice.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
Yeah, I don't feel any need to talk to her about it.
No, she's going to say she didn't understand. She's going to say exactly what she wrote.
Yeah.
Is that a motion?
I'll make that a motion to offer a consent for a disciplinary decree of censure for failure to comply with the CE requirements.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Any further discussion?
So then I would just note that the first is the non-disciplinary and a fine, and then the second is disciplinary, no fine. Is that
correct?
That we're going to go moving forward? Okay.
We'll need a voice vote for all of
us, please. And just to make sure that the intent of the motion is to offer the disciplinary decree of censure. If she fails to sign it, it's going to informal interview.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. First and second, okay.
We're
with
good
that.
With that motion, and you're good with that second?
Yes.
Okay. All right, so we will do a roll call vote. Joe, we'll start with you.
Jose Gonzalez, aye.
Catherine Rader, aye.
Alan Crawford, aye.
Leslie Hensley, aye.
Michael Beller, aye.
Tracy Hagan, aye. Okay, that motion passes.
Thank you.
All right, board members, you ready?
Mm-hmm. Here we go.
Sure. We're going to start with C5.
No.
Yep. All right, here we go. I'm trying to set myself up for it.
I'm not considering them separated.
That's right.
We're going separate.
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
We got this. We're going with the case of Salvador Aguirre, case 2019-RCE-0022.
Madam Chair, members of the board, I just want to let you know that RCP Aguirre,
I'm sure I pronounced it wrong.
Thank you. Did come in before the meeting started, and he turned in transcripts from AARC and CE certificates. I have not had a chance to look at them and see if they comply, but we did get a submission from him this morning.
Can you tell me if those, you know?
I haven't taken the time to look at them. My quick glance of this showed that he had the ethics. He has more than enough hours, but then the last certificate is a BLS.
So I motion to table this, and we'll have staff. I'm curious to know if those hours were completed in the required period. Because if they were, then this may be a motion.
Okay, so we have a motion to table.
Second.
And a second until Jack can look at the CEUs. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Motion passes. We will move to the case of David Cameron, case 2019-RCE-0027.
Madam Chair, members of the board, this is case number 2019-RCE-0027. RCP Cameron only submitted 5 total hours of continuing education. It appears to be short 15 hours during our audit. He does state that he really apologizes for sending the CEs late. Things have been stressful with trying to communicate with my ex to try to get to my belongings and get old belongings from her. I just had to move, pack, clean, unpack, etc. I have my 20 plus CEUs included, and I hope everything is okay. And I am still a pretty new RRT, and this is my first time with an audit.
What is an RTT?
Registered, I don't know.
Can I get clarification that that we are speaking of, this one including everything else on this list, have been sent a consent?
Yes.
Okay. They just haven't signed it.
Correct.
Okay.
Does it come with instructions?
Sure does.
I think it does, actually.
So this RCP is saying that he completed them but didn't have it turned in because of access to them. So in going through these, were these done before his required time? Were they done in time or done after the fact?
Some of these were done after the fact. We only had 5 hours submitted for the renewal time frame, which was
Okay.
And he has ACLS in here for 6, though. So was this ACLS class completed prior to his expiration? Well, 21
Well, he wrote it down for 6 CEs. We did. It's only 5, so I did for 5.
That was his 5.
What was the date you said?
12/21/18
Yes.
Yes, because his renewal time frame was 12/29/19
So that's all he submitted.
Correct.
Everything else outside of this window.
Yes.
Okay. So I motion that we motion that we offer him a consent.
We already did.
It's already offered. All of these have been offered a consent. They haven't signed it.
I haven't signed it.
Okay. Well, then I motion and move in it.
Yeah. Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor of an informal interview, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. Motion passes. We are going to the case of Rhonda Erskine, case 2019-RCE-0033.
Madam Chair, members of the board, after completing the audit, we found only 10 hours of approved continuing education that was submitted during the time frame. She has not signed the offer consent agreement. So she failed the audit.
I motion that we move to an informal.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor of going to an informal interview, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. Motion passes. They're all the same thing. We are calling the case of Anna Marie Hernandez, case 2019-RCE-0034. I want to make sure I get this. Each one.
Yeah.
Madam Chair, on this particular, the members of the board, on this particular audit, we have received 17.5 hours of CE that was completed during her renewal time frame. She did fail the audit.
I move that we send this to an informal.
Second. Motion and a second for an informal. I know. Any discussion? All in favor of going to an informal interview, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed, say nay. Motion passes.
Yeah.
Our next case will be the case of Mark McBee, case 2019-RCE-0044.
Madam Chair, members of the board, in this particular matter, he responded to the audit and stated that he did not complete any hours of continuing education during the renewal time frame.
Do we have prior board history?
We do.
Not for continuing education.
Right.
The name is familiar. I'm not sure if we took any action.
I move that we go to an informal.
Second. Motion and a second for an informal interview. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say nay. And that motion passes. We will move to the case of Linda O'Dowd, case 2019-RCE-0047.
There we do.
Why would they just sign the consent agreement?
I have no idea. Why don't they just do their CEUs?
That's a really good question.
That's the better question.
So next month, we should just plan on being here all day.
It'll be 2 months. Well, I guess, next month.
Well, this is informal interview, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
35
next month.
Days.
Oh, no, this
notice.
Is not informal. They're going to.
They're going to informals.
So next right. month, we'll be busy.
Well, no, what I'm saying is, we've got 35 days of notice, so. Next meeting is what, May
18th? So July will be it.
June.
Well, no, for formal. These are still in.
These are informal.
I'm trying to make sure to block my time.
These are informal.
These are allegations right now going to informal.
No. We have to do 35 days of notice to informal interview.
Oh, so they're going in June.
Yes.
June, I just make sure I'll block a longer period of time. Just,
and you may be out in August.
I'm out in June. I'm going to go on vacation.
I don't blame you.
So, as a caveat for these, if they do sign the consent agreement, it would resolve it between now and informal interview.
Okay.
I know we didn't talk about that, but I'm sure we'll have some that come in.
Well, we'll settle.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. I think we are on Linda O'Dowd.
Oh, okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, we received at least 19.2 hours of approved continuing education on this particular case. Short 0.8 hours.
And wouldn't sign a consent.
Has not, that I'm aware of.
Informal.
Second.
Must have. He said something. Okay. Do we have a motion and a second?
Yep.
Any discussion? All in favor going to an informal interview, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. And the motion passes. And now we will move to Rowan Ottaway, case 2019-RCE-0048.
Madam Chair, members of the board, we do not receive any hours of approved continuing education during her renewal time frame. Everything submitted was from the prior renewal time frame.
I move that we go to an informal.
Second. We have a motion and a second for an informal interview. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes. We've got Amanda Parson, case 2019-RCE-0050.
I'm working on it.
It's okay.
1339.
Thank you. We do not, Madam Chair, we do not receive any proof of continuing education for RCP Parson. I don't think we got a response to the audit at all.
I move that we go to an informal.
Second.
Motion and a second for an informal interview. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. And that motion passes. And we've got the case of Ronco Pepik, case 2019-RCE-0052.
Madam Chair, members of the board, we received a total of 17.2 hours of approved continuing education. The licensee was short 2.8 hours.
Can we move that we go to an informal?
Second.
Motion and a second for an informal interview. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say nay. And that motion passes. We've got Melissa Pfaff, case 2019-RCE-0053.
Getting there.
It's fine.
I do recall chatting with her this week, and there may be some additional hours coming in. At this time, we have received a total of 17 hours of approved continuing education, short 3 hours.
I make a motion that we move to an informal.
Sure.
And if you receive the hours before the next meeting, to discuss.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say nay. And that motion passes. We will move on to Edgar Padeo, case 2019-RCE-0051.
My ribbon is not working correctly.
Oh, it isn't either.
It's something to do with the scan and the... Madam Chair, members of the board, we did not receive any continuing education for the audit. So a short 20 hours.
I go to an informal.
Second.
Motion and a second for an informal. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed say nay. And that motion passes. And and that moves us to Mark Phillips, case 2019-RCE-0054.
Madam Chair, members of the board, we did not receive a response to the audit and did not get any continuing education the last 2 years.
Anybody go to an informal?
Motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor of moving to an informal interview, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes. And now we've got the case of Joseph Ricchetti, case 2019-RCE-0057.
Madam Chair, members of the board, we did receive a response to the audit. We did receive 20 hours of continuing education. However, we did not receive, there were not 2 hours of ethics evidence in that 20 hours. So we were short 2 hours of ethics.
I make a motion that we move to an informal.
Second.
A motion and a second and a third. Any discussion? All in favor of going to an informal interview, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes.
I just want to amend that we also, of that 20 hours, we did not receive any live continued education either. So it's no ethics and no live courses were submitted within that 20 hours.
Okay. We will go to the case of Amber Ross, case 2019-RCE-0061.
Chair, members of the board, this particular RCP Ross was short 1 hour ethics. We received a total of 21 hours of CD, however, was unable to prove that 1 hour ethics during the prior renewal time frame.
Second. Motion and a second for an informal interview. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Any opposed say nay. And that motion passes. And we've got the case of Abigail Salazar, case 2019-RCE-0062.
Madam Chair, members of the board, we received a total of 13 hours of approved continuing education. This particular RCP was short 7 hours, and it looks like some of those that were submitted may have been out of time frame. Total is short 7 hours.
We have a motion and a second. Do you have any discussion? All in favor of an informal interview, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. Motion passes. Change it up a bit. And we've got the case of Carrie Ann Snipes, case 2019-RCE-0065. We're getting there.
Madam Chair, members of the board, we did not receive a response to the audit and did not receive any continuing education from this RCP.
I move to an informal.
Second. Motion and a second for an informal. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Uh-huh.
Aye. Any opposed say nay. And that motion passes. And we have Tina Taylor, case 2019-RCE-0068.
Madam Chair, members of the board, we did not receive any response initially to the audit. However, I have talked with her over the past couple of days. She has submitted hours. I believe she was short 1.8 hours. She's been sent an amended consent agreement reflecting the accurate numbers, and I do expect her to sign it, but she's still short from the audit.
I make a motion that I move to an informal, and if she signs the consent, then I'll remove her from the agenda.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. And that motion passes. And we've got Sylvia Wallace, case 2019-RCE-0069.
Kathy, I can't read your writing. Madam Chair, members of the board, excuse me, we received a total of 27.95 hours. However, we did not receive any ethics, so she was short 2 hours of ethics. I move that we go to an informal.
Motion and a second for an informal interview. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay. And the motion passes. And last, but certainly not least, we have the case of Dawn Webb, case 2019-RCE-0071. I should say last of this grouping.
Chair, members of the board, we did receive 20 hours of total continuing education. However, we did not receive any ethics, proof of any ethics, or proof of any live continuing education. So they are short 5 hours.
All right, motion that we go to an informal.
Okay. Motion and a second for an informal interview. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed say nay.
Can I just ask a question? Where is the person in my resources that we have not discussed?
There were two that I saw.
On the CE.
Page 1257. I don't see their name on the agenda, though.
Check the consents, yeah.
It was that person, and then there was one more.
Signed a consent.
Right, they're both listed
so
on
Phil, yeah,
QG.
So I was doing these up till.
Yeah, I see both of them on there.
Yeah,
the, QG,
so.
13 and 14, yeah.
Okay.
I was literally doing 5 to 10 consents a day.
I can believe you were. Yeah.
So my apologies. It's a.
I was expecting more.
Unreal.
Thank you.
Unreal.
We strive to. 100% perfect, and I feel bad whenever I make mistakes like that.
Oh.
Seriously.
Okay. Wait.
Okay. That was quite a haul. All right, we're going to stay in three, and we're going to go to D, which is initial review, consideration and action on investigation of possible unprofessional conduct and possible summary suspension. And we will call the case of Karen Warner, case 2019-RCE-0078.
Madam Chair, members of the board, RCP Warner holds license number 8713, has been licensed since August 28th of 2008. That license is set to expire, set to expire February 4th of 2020. Last reported employer was Northwest Medical Center. She does have a complaint history with disciplinary action. The current public records, criminal records search, I did not find any information at this time. Northwest Medical Center reported a positive drug screen that occurred on or around March 11th of 2019. I do want to state that that report just came to us, I think it was on April 11th, it was last week. We've already sent out subpoenas. We're waiting for additional information from the facility. The facts in this case indicate that RCP Warner tested positive for methamphetamine and marijuana in a random drug test on March 11th, 2019. Northwest Medical Center staff indicates RCP Warner attempted to defeat the urine test and take urine in a hand warmer into the bathroom when providing the sample. After they discovered the attempts to fake the urine test, they conducted a blood test that came back positive for those substances. Thank you. A particular note, there was a order in 2009 wherein the board issued a rehabilitative probation order for her to grant the license. And then there was also a finding fact and conclusions of law and a revocation of her license previously in 2005.
So how does this...
So the 2005 revocation was prior to the order granting the license and establishing the rehabilitative probation. So she reapplied. She was granted a second license in 2009 with the rehabilitative probation.
So
the board gave her a second chance. She's held that license until now. And there's been another incident of drug use, which is currently an issue with this case.
And have you had any contact with her?
I have not. I've reached out to her by notices, by email. I've tried to call two or three times and I've got the file. I reached out to the person that reported it, I think Director Bowen, and asked him if he had additional contact information. He had the same contact information that we had, but he did tell me that the nursing staff that she had worked with, nobody's had contact with her, but they have tried to reach out to her. So I don't know if she's in rehab. I don't know if she's in jail. I've had no contact with her, even though I've tried.
I would think that this moves up to a summary suspension.
So the board, if you believe that there is an imminent danger to the public health, safety, and welfare, you may order a summary suspension, which means that the hearing would be held within 60 days.
June's going to be tough.
Yeah. So that may mean May or June, depending on how big your appetite is. The other option is if you feel that the public is not in imminent harm, you can schedule this for a formal hearing if you believe revocation or suspension is in order. So it's up to the board. Either way, you'll probably have a hearing in 60 days.
I would feel more comfortable if we were able to communicate with her, but since there has been no communication and I'm staring at a positive methamphetamine drug screen.
And the history is similar.
And a prior history, I make a motion that we summary suspend license due to public safety.
Second. So we have a motion and a second for suspension.
I'm sorry, excuse me, ma'am. Do you need anything specific in that motion about imminent danger to the public health?
I believe.
Is that covered for you?
I believe Member Crawford has stated his concern that she's not reachable, that she has a history with the substance, and that there is a possibility she could be out there working and caring.
Until we sort this out, I don't think she needs to be practicing.
So we have a motion and a second. Do we need a roll call vote or just
yes, please.
Okay, so we'll do a roll call vote for a suspension.
Ms. Gonzalez, aye.
So we're aye.
Alan Crawford, aye.
Dr. Leslie Beasley, aye.
Michael Belair, aye.
Tracy Kagan, aye. Okay, that motion passes.
Can I have the second to that motion, please?
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, board.
Okay, so unless I missed my note, I've gotten everybody in three A, B, C, D, and E. Everyone agree with that?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yes.
That actually was pretty smooth as I thought. You're welcome. All right, we're going to go to F, which I believe everything else for F and G is Jack.
Madam Chair, members of the board, we discussed the intent definition of live courses or activities that are in Arizona Administrative Code R44209 at the last meeting. We also had a brief discussion on how we're going to look at discontinued education classes and apply that live definition that's in our rule. We decided that we would draft a substantive policy statement so that we can publish that to the industry, the CE providers, AERC, so that everybody knows that when we say live class, live course, that the definition is clear. This is the substantive policy statement that we drafted that basically states, and thank you, Frankie, she came up with some pretty good language. In essence, it states the board interprets this rule to mean that an online, asynchronous, self-paced learning course without the presence of a real-time instructor does not qualify as a live course or activity. While the board seeks a rule change or amendment to clarify the meaning of live courses or activities, the board will not accept continuing education units obtained through the viewing of pre-recorded continuing education courses online as a live course or activity. That is the third paragraph. I'm sorry, that's page 1632, third paragraph. And the intent of this is to, again, express the board's, or further define the board's rule while we're doing rule change or statute change to clarify it. This came up because of some of the last-minute CE courses that are available out there where they're basically reviewing a recording, and the only contact is an email or a telephone number, and that's not a live class.
And they're calling themselves live CE.
Right.
So I'm 100% supportive of in-person conferences, et cetera. My only question, I'm just playing devil's advocate here, my question would be, what about those places that are in rural communities, like Page, Arizona?
So if you look at the last paragraph on the substantive policy statement, I did give examples of what would qualify as a live course that is online. There are live streams that they can engage in online. But it would have to be with live question and comments from the online participants. There are synchronous events that are like virtual online meeting rooms that we had discussed at the last meeting. Video conferencing with real-time participation. And it's just any courses where the attendees and the instructors are there at the same time would qualify. So
we do this in medicine as well. Yeah. I mean, we had one recently on Intala where we were all on a webinar, but there was live chat with the person who was actively giving the course.
I borrowed the language.
So active back and forth.
Yeah, I borrowed the language from medical, from CME programs that were making the distinction between asynchronous and synchronous programs. And they specified that the asynchronous programs are not live because they're not real time. They are recordings, and there is someone to answer questions, but it's a moderator. Somebody at the other line that they hired to monitor things.
And I attend similar regulatory courses where you ask a question and they present it to the speaker.
Correct. Yep.
There are online options. Yep. It does limit the type of online options so that you're not having people complete their entire 20 minutes.
How is the board staff going to differentiate a live AARC course from a in-person, a presenter and the viewer seeing it at the same time, as opposed to a pre-recorded.
So, Madam Chair, Board Member Crawford, right now the policy of AARC is that those courses that are approved by AARC that are internet-based are considered non-traditional. So anything on the internet that they don't consider live is expressed as non-traditional. A traditional class, AARC says, is live. Okay? When we've had these three or four, I've actually reached out to the provider and said, well, tell me about your class and how do you confirm that it's live? And so we call them and verify.
You call it AARC?
No, the provider.
like last minute CE Associates of Texas. Excuse me, sorry. And it basically comes down to the quality of the CE certificate. AARC has guidelines of what you're supposed to have on the certificate. So if I get a certificate that says contact hour from AZSRC, that doesn't tell me whether it's traditional or non-traditional. It doesn't tell me whether it's live or internet-based. So it's going to take some due diligence on our part to figure out everything. So the main thing is I've been verifying. I've called the companies and talked to them. The main thing that these, they're not, they don't, they're, so if you're doing a live course, here's the other thing that is an issue. You can sit there and pay for the course and hit play at home, and you can have it run on your tablet, and you can be out doing laundry, dinner, and everything else, and it goes through the hour, and you don't really sit there and do anything. It comes down to your commitment for doing the CEs for the 20 hours and doing them right every time, no matter who the provider is. So,
I mean, that's no different than a conference. People who sign up for a conference and never walk into one of the
collections. Or I'll call you on the weekend instead of sitting. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, did I answer your question?
Yeah. I like it.
I think this is great wording.
Agreed. So the board, if you would like to take some time to review this and make some edits, you can do that and bring it back, or you can go ahead and adopt the policy as is today.
And do we need to vote on
you? You need to have a vote.
I motion that we adopt this policy as is.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor of adopting the policy, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, say nay. And that motion passes. Okay.
Madam Chair, members of the board, I put on a couple pieces of legislation that we are going to have to discuss. And the two major ones, I don't know if anybody's seen it. The first one is House Bill 2569. It's gotten a lot of press from the governor's office on the doors are open in Arizona for occupational licensing. If you're licensed in another state, you can be licensed here. That's what's being expressed in press releases, not only in Arizona, on a nationwide basis. We have to decide how 2569 applies to us in this industry. As you all know, we set a minimum level of competency for Arizona respiratory therapists to have held an RRT credential to be licensed here. However, the licensing throughout the nation is I guess bifurcated. You know, there are still practicing CRTs in Arizona that hold a license, and in other states. We have to decide what this piece of legislation does to our industry, and if this legislation will now mandate that we license CRTs in Arizona. And if we do license CRTs in Arizona, how we do that. So I'm giving you a heads up on it. It's going to require some work from Frankie's office to advise us on what the statute means, whether or not we have to do rule writing, or whether or not we have to start licensing CRTs that are coming in from other states.
So what kind of feedback or input do we get?
Basically, the way I envision that is that we're going to ask for some assistance from the Attorney General's office on interpreting this new statute. And between now and when it becomes effective, which will be 69 days, depending on when the legislature closes, could be July, could be September, we have to have a plan in place of what we're going to do. As a board, you're going to be working with the Attorney General's office on those interpretations and their advice to this board on how we have to handle this.
So my personal opinion is I don't want to go backwards.
Right.
So there are very competent and very capable CRTs working in the field who have a lot of experience. However, the credentialing process for a CRT and RRT are different. And I think that the critical thinking that is required with an RRT credentialing exam was predominantly a main reason why I liked the idea of setting the minimum expectation for licensure as an RRT. So I would be very reluctant about going backwards.
And I'm not saying this the way your staff is thinking about this. I'm just telling you that you have your governor's office is advertising this as the doors are open for occupational licensing.
So is the bill passed? Or
the bill has been passed.
It has been passed. So
it has been passed. It's been signed by the governor. So it will become effective, and we need to decide how, if at all, this bill impacts this agency and our industry. Having said that, the second piece of legislation, and I don't recall, I think it might be 1086, is going to mandate issuing temporary licenses.
Oh, man, that's
backwards. We're going backwards.
So when you look at this legislation, I want you to look at it with an open mind. And it's not necessarily a step backwards if public policy is sending you in a different direction. So we have to be politically astute about these bills and what they're intending, not only for this agency, but for all health-related professions. So same thing with that. We have to look at it, decide if it affects us, if we have to start issuing temporary licenses, and in what situations.
That was going to be my question. A temporary license will be granted to whom?
Same thing.
Yeah, the idea would be that somebody coming in from out of state that would have the same practice level or greater than what you currently license. The problem is it's taking them months sometimes to get a license in this state because they're coming from another state. This would grant them a temporary license for a year or two.
Until the time that they're fully licensed.
Until which time would give the board time to vet them and get them an actual license. So it's giving them the ability to, if they're in good standing in their home state with the same credentials that they would need to practice here, it would give them that temporary ability to practice while they're here waiting for their Arizona license.
So we're talking about an RRT from Idaho.
And we're still vetting this, but from what I understand, the boards will be held to the practice level they are currently licensing at. I don't believe the legislature is going to force anyone to go backwards.
So here are the two things that could come up with this. Mm-hmm. So you have a CRT that's licensed in another state, right? They apply for a license here. They have not yet gotten their RRT. But the temporary bill might allow them to get a license, to be licensed here while they're testing for their RRT.
But not if she's saying that they have to be licensed at the level we are.
It's hypothetical at this point in time, and we need to take a look at it, figure out what we're doing. So,
it's like auto grandfathering them into an old regulation.
I don't see how it's any different. So the standard of care has been set for like pre-hospital care. For example, with basics and paramedics, and some states have a whole bunch of different scopes of practice in between there, intermediates and CRTs and et cetera. But once the states define the standard of care, it's like greater than or equal to. So,
exactly.
So I can't have a basic license and go to Nevada and suddenly be considered as an intermediate.
I don't believe the legislature intends for any of the boards to have to.
That's a great way to describe that. The thing is, in Arizona, we still have CRTs that were grandfathered into licensing and are practicing today.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Regardless, so we have two standards of care in Arizona right now, and we've allowed that. So it's...
I think that being grandfathered in, though, is different than the expectation that Arizona is going to provide reciprocity going forward.
But I think there is a difference because we no longer permit initial CRTs to apply.
No, and your grandfather clause has expired. It doesn't apply to anyone who was not currently licensed and has not maintained a continuous license since that time. So while you may get a petition or a challenge or something, I don't believe the legislature meant for this to open up a a Pandora's box for this board. So,
does it really take new applicants from other states months to get a license if they come from other states?
It could.
It could, but this board has been very good about its time frames.
I don't think that we, respiratory care, was the impetus for any of the
right.
statute. I that's just
we
my
just
fault.
Felt, we just
I don't get those complaints.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I do every now and then, but it's very rare. So I just wanted to bring those up and let you know that we're going to be looking at them closer in the next month or two.
Okay.
Kind of start the discussion.
Even a month or 9 days could be a lot to be out of not being able to get a paycheck. I mean, that's a long time.
And there are mechanisms
yeah.
to ensure that they have a clean history with their license.
Right.
At home,
that
they don't have a criminal history.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really have to be in perfect standing in order to get that temporary license.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different than how it used to be. You know, when this board used to issue a temporary license, it was very different. You were not required to be credentialed at the time that your temporary license was issued. And what I'm hearing in this bill, they would be credentialed
that's
in good standing.
Good
so that's
standing,
a very
like,
different...
They've been in practice.
Right.
Like,
here's my stuff from my other state. You know, you...
Our
old
temporaries covered the students that had just graduated.
Right, we were issuing temporary licenses to graduates who hadn't credentialed
yet
at all.
So.
Hadn't even attempted their course.
It is different, but I mean, it's a step forward in trying to recognize that less cost and make it easier for people to travel their licenses.
I don't have anything else on legislation at this point in time. Those are the two biggies that are coming up that could impact us. Student conference in Tucson. Does anybody have any feedback on that? Not about my presentation.
The feedback I heard is that they appreciated your wisdom.
I have to be honest with you. I had an off day. It was not. What did you smile? It was not a good day for me. I didn't present well, and I was just hoping to mess
up. I disagree. I think you presented very well. I think that this feedback that we got from the students is quite positive.
Good.
I appreciated reading all of Carrington's letters. I thought you did well. I think the point was very well made of once you become credentialed and once you apply for a license, there are standards and expectations that you are going to be held to that you need to understand prior to signing that
your license.
Application.
Your responsibility.
Like to your CE.
It's a good conference. It's a good conference for the students.
Yeah.
It's always good to see, 200 plus?
Every professional.
And we're one of the only states that provide the students.
And I think moving the students to the
right,
conference, I think engaged a lot more students.
I think it was a good idea, but the staff had yourself a few issues on it.
Well,
not to be addressed.
That had some serious flaws to it.
What's that?
The sputable situation.
Oh, okay.
And nothing to do with here, but I do like having it there.
Yeah. Let's see here.
It's like a Jeopardy for respiratory therapy. I mean, we
poor
use some weird things at physician conferences, but that sounds super odd.
We'll be all judging over there.
I'm not judging. It's okay. Your pencil. We do weird stuff too, so I get it. But
I'm going to skip by number 6. MBRC licensing meeting is set for August 23rd. August 24th of 2019. I put this on the agenda just because I wanted some awareness. And we missed it last year, so we need to figure out who's going this year.
Where's it at?
It is in KC. Close to KC. Olathe.
Did you go last month?
Nobody
went last year.
How was it?
It was great. Yeah, I think it's a good opportunity for licensing agencies to meet and to have understandings of each other's processes and, you know, to hear different people present on new laws that are new rules that they're drafting within their boards, et cetera. And then it was also great to have, on the other side, professionals speak to how the profession of respiratory therapy is moving and where we're going to be in 2030, 2050. And how the regulatory bodies are moving with them.
So the way this works is MBRC pays for one per- person to go to the conference free of charge. Next year, we will probably have money if we want to send somebody else or two board members. Or one board member that we pay for.
Right.
So we just need to decide who's doing it. Because those arrangements, we have to start making those arrangements. So I don't know if you want to have a discussion now. Would you be interested?
I'm always interested in going. I haven't been to one of these in many, many years. Joe, are you interested as well? Well, but if the NBRC is going to send one and the board is going to send one, if we can send two people.
Yeah.
That's something I think we can discuss.
Yeah.
Okay.
Very good.
I mean, Kansas. Why would you want
to go to Kansas, yeah.
It's on the Kansas side, right?
Yeah.
It's not on the Missouri side.
It's on the Missouri side.
Yeah. August is not a great time there. Okay. We'll be in there.
That's the week of the state conference.
I included customer satisfaction surveys if anybody has any comments. Number 9, we had a discussion last month and the month before about fingerprint clearance cards. I invited Matthew Scheller, the executive director from Fingerprinting Board, to come over and give a presentation. He had a conflict. But I got a lead from somebody from Department of Public Safety to come chat with us next month. The idea behind the fingerprint cards is that the board could mandate that respiratory therapists hold fingerprint cards, valid active fingerprint cards, and that would eliminate the fingerprint process we go through before licensing.
Which is a requirement for almost every student here.
So I found out more. I was a little, it was a little obscure to me too because I've never been in an agency that required them. So I started to educate myself. There's different levels of fingerprint clearance cards. Basically, they do the vetting for criminal history. So if it's a severe criminal history, they won't get a fingerprint clearance card, but they can file what's called a, what is it called? The fingerprints clear level 1 fingerprint clearance card.
Yeah.
At a exception, they can file and appeal through the fingerprint board. An exception, if they have a criminal history, they can still get a card. The advantage to the fingerprints clearance card is that if anybody gets arrested for DUI or anything like that, the board gets notified immediately of the arrest from DPS and the Board of Fingerprinting. So I want to bring somebody over here to train us better on what it is and how it can be used. My understanding is that pharmacists have switched over that recently, so all pharmacists are mandating. Nursing board mandates it for all their licensees. Physical therapy recently changed and is required at Caruth, and I think nursing care institution. So it's something new to look at. It might reduce our licensing times, because we're not waiting for 35 days to get a fingerprint background check done. And we'll try to educate ourselves, try to get somebody out over here to give a presentation.
Okay. Just a question, Jeff. Would that relieve the applicant's responsibility of reporting the DUI? Or
no.
So they'd still have to tell us, but we'd also get informed by another agency.
And correct. So if they didn't report an arrest to us within the 10 days, we potentially would get that from DPS. It would probably notify us of stuff that we're not knowing about now.
Probably it would.
Yeah.
Okay. Is the cost prohibitive as far as
free? I don't believe
like
so.
$63 or $65.
Yeah. And it would eliminate the $50. So you might have a fee to the fingerprinting board, but it would eliminate the $50 fee that we're charging for background checks.
Right.
So, in my view, it reduces our licensing fees.
Right. Well, and many people have one anyway, so
yes.
It would be a reduction.
The students have to have, my understanding is respiratory students have to have them to do their clinicals.
Depending on which facilities they go to, I would say a majority of them are having them now.
I don't have anything further on those questions.
Anything else under G you wanted to cover that wasn't covered?
No, I need to do the failure respond policy to another meeting, please.
Looks like the feedback that you've been getting has been positive.
What's that?
Your customer experience responses have been very positive.
I think that staff just at night filled in stuff. I don't. I'm not sure. The audits have created a very high volume of phone calls and interaction with staff. I think that's why you see my name appearing in there more than it has in the past. We're slammed with phone calls right now. The outlook on CE audits is I have another stack of failures, about the same amount sitting on my desk, that you're going to probably see next month. And we have, how many license renewals have we done since January? Roundabout, you know? How many license renewal applications? No? You can say no.
No, if I had to guess, anywhere probably between 400 and 600.
Okay, so you saw...
It's a lot.
So that gives you an idea of the percentage of failures. So there's probably been 100 to 150 failures of that 400 plus.
So we're going to be tackling about 15 to 20 each month.
Yeah. You know, this, the board had this issue when we first instituted the audit policy. We saw a giant influx, and then a year or two later, it tapers out again. So hopefully, we get the message out.
I haven't had time. I just haven't had time to look at numbers. I wish I could say we have an X percentage failure rate. I'm not there yet. Just haven't had time to run the numbers. So, well, there's a question over there someplace. Somebody?
I was going to ask what type of communication we've sent out around the 100% audit to notify people that we're doing 100% audits. It seems like if people knew in advance, they might be more reluctant to. It would be the same thing with the consent agreement, that if you refuse to sign the consent agreement, it will most likely be moved to informal and you will have to appear before the board.
Every single license renewal notification letter that we send out has information on it.
So you've always been privy to the random audit, so technically all of your licensees should be aware that at any time they can't be audited. Really, the mentality should be, I can get audited at any time. You also must have.
I think it's different, though, to say you can't get audited, to say that you will be audited.
It's
now.
Also their personal responsibility to maintain those CEUs in order to get their license renewal. So.
Yeah, I don't think anyone disagrees with that. I think Board Member Beller, though, I think his statement is if people know that you will be audited and you will be expected to turn in 100% of your CEUs at the time that you renew your license, I'm curious to know if you would see an increase in compliance.
Because then it's not like, well, I can submit and there will be an exception made, or I'll be, permitted to do whatever. It's like, if you don't, then this will happen.
And I think
right?
You saw from today, though, a lot of these cases where it's the two ethics that were missing, mm-hmm. maybe the five live. I mean, these people, they are submitting CE.
Yeah.
They're just not fulfilling any requirements that went into place about a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
So maybe we can do a better job of communicating that.
I think that's always something we strive for. And then when we get to talking to some of the folks, maybe they have some better ideas.
Even if there's a pop-up on the website, or like a Drupal pop-up that says, hey, due to the recent influx.
It's in their reminder for the renewal.
Right. So
when they have their reminder sent out to them, it does tell them that you will be audited after you've submitted your renewal.
And that goes out 60
days,
perfect.
Yeah.
But you're talking about like a pop-up in the renewal process.
Well, we could...
That's a good idea.
We could do it on the website. It could be a pop-up in the renewal process. It sounds like we already have it another way. But as much as we can tell that story...
Yeah, that's a good idea. I agree. I think there's always opportunity in getting information out.
I'll
follow up on it.
I think the mission of the board is not to catch people, it's to make sure everyone's doing their
CEUs. Right.
Is right.
We don't want to be perceived as auditing. We want 100% compliance to the requirements of the law.
So
what's going to happen, as you've heard me say, and I was trying to go live May 1st. I'm not sure that's going to happen with the new Salesforce system. That system is going to require them to submit their CE online, and we will mandate their 20 hours before they get renewed. So that's going to be the catch-all. It's just not, we're not there yet. So you won't be able to get renewed if you don't have your 20 hours in the right areas.
I like that. May, June of this year. I think that's going to save a lot of our time.
We're getting there. We're getting there. So.
I think that is potentially going to increase our practice without a license, practice on an expired license, because people are going to assume that they've turned in the application and now they're renewed, which is how it used
We've got, yeah, we, you know, it's funny you mention that. We've just got, what, three or four working out without a license within the last 2 weeks.
That's another thing.
It's
your birthday.
I don't have anything
further. Okay, so that moves us to H, which is call to the public. And the call to the public is we open it up to you out there in the audience, and if anyone has anything to say, you would have 5 minutes to say whatever it is you'd like to say, knowing that it's not on our agenda, so we can't have conversation with you. At the same time I do that, I like to say, what did you get out of today, if anything?
Dear CEO.
Thank you. Yes.
You know, if they just go to the conference every year, they'd get most of their CEUs right there.
Right.
Then all you need is about five more to renew your ACLS. You can come down like I did today to get your other hour of ethics. Mm-hmm. There's ethics on the ADRC, so you should belong to that. I mean,
it's
I don't know
there.
Why these people don't do that.
We don't know either.
I just don't get it.
I mean, and everybody in a professional, a medical professional, we all have to do continuing education, right? It's about staying on top of our practice.
Yeah.
So it's not disciplinary, it's a good thing.
Yes.
Yes.
I like the idea of having us submit our CUs online because it's less paperwork for us to keep track of over the years.
I don't want you to think, that's a really good point, but I just want you to let... Don't think of the life of our renewal system as a depository for CE, where you'll be able to call us and go, oh, I'm renewing my MBRC credential. It's 3 years later, because that's, what, a five-year renewal?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I don't want you to think of it as a depository for your CE certificates, because we're not going to keep them. Once we look at them and we know that you've done your 20 hours in right areas, we're not going to have that CE certificate. It's meant as an efficiency for you so that you can type in, submit your CE certificates, and get license renewed efficiently. So I just want to give you a heads up on that. I don't want you to think it's we're going to have a CE certificate from 4 years ago or something.
We still have to maintain your certificate by the rule, right?
Yes.
You didn't get rid of that?
No.
Nope.
Yeah, you're still responsible for maintaining your own CEU.
Yeah. What other comments? I'm curious, what did somebody learn today? What's the one takeaway from today that you appreciate from coming to the meeting other than the time that you spent here with all us wonderful folks? Anything? No? Come on.
Well, there's kind of a cohesiveness within the RT community that I'm noticing the more I do come to the meeting. There seems to be a cohesiveness in the community.
That's not community.
You're not out there on your own.
That's
true. I was going to say, I do think more language around what is considered a live CEU, that is going to be extremely helpful, because it is a little bit confusing to, you know, do the webinars and you think you're attending a live event, but truly it might not be. Absolutely. And then also, too, the certificates that we receive, like I think maybe having some discussion around what type of verbiage we should be looking for to actually bring that credit as live.
Good discussion. So what about the cases? You heard a failed drug report today. You heard about mandatory reporting within 10 days of a criminal arrest, no matter what it is. You heard a little discussion of having to respond to complaints within 20 days. I don't know if you talked about that.
Proper patient transfer when you walk off the job.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Abandonment,
Make sure you give report if you're going to quit your job. Okay?
You get fed up at a place of employment and say enough's enough and you're walking out. You still have to take care of your patients.
To the right person.
Yeah, you got to make sure that patient's taken care of. And report it to the right folks. So,
And believe it or not, we're actually here to support you guys. We're not here just to, you know, do something to you if you do something wrong. We're here to support you guys and get here in your practice. So we're really not all bad.
Yeah. All right.
Thank you very much.
Moving on to items to be placed on future agenda. Do we have anything, board members?
I think Jack already stated about the policy related to the response.
Okay.
I've been carrying it for a while. Let's get it done.
Okay. Kathy, you want to go through your list there?
All right. If you raise your hand or tell me that you're still here, I'd appreciate it. James French?
Yeah.
C.G. Polinos?
Yeah.
Leslie Hanks?
Yeah.
Joe Begum? Mm-hmm. Courtney Cox? Gavisa Cabetto? Chris Canizo? Melissa Medina? Daniel Trent?
Here.
Alberto Sanchez?
Here.
Don Short-Ruminer?
Here.
Jim Love?
Here.
Brandon Thomas?
Here.
Kaylin?
Here.
Barbosa Goats?
Here.
Okay. Oh, sorry, it looks like Barbara. I'm sorry on that. Carlo Garibay?
Here.
Nicholas Gonzalez?
Here.
Jenny Trolson?
Here.
Sawan Yoon? Gildardo Alamon?
Here.
Alan De La Luz? Tara Bilton?
Here.
Drew Justice? Nita Ramazani, or Ramazari?
Ramazani.
Okay, Brooke Chawith?
Yeah.
Okay. And Courtney Olson? Okay, thank you.
I was locked in, like, right after you cut out, because I went to the old building, so I was in at, like, 9:02.
Had to be here by 9 o'clock.
Okay, we are 10:58 and adjourned.
Thank you, everybody.